Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Right, it was strange. All right, let's get this thing going here. Drop the subject with Allie and Jarrett.
What you guys didn't hear was the last words right before the mic went on was, it was strange.
It was strange. Well, what I was talking about was last night, we have a great show planned for you, by the way. We have GMA, we have Really Estate. There's a weird item that from a celebrity that is being auctioned off at a very, very high price. So we're going to compare that to a real estate listing. You have to guess which one costs more.
Also, we've got crazy political news happening with the Congress, and also
the Congress
with the Congress, the election, and then also you've got things that were strange.
I don't know any influencers, any people that would be quoted as being called influencers.
Have we met?
Okay, well, you are a different type of influencer. I'm talking about
I'm
the stereotypical.
No, I hate the word influencer.
I'm going to put a picture with against a mural with wings coming out of it. That's, you know those people?
Oh, yes, that is a thing. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? But everyone has taken a picture in front of that mural.
That mural with
wings. Yeah.
Those kind of people.
The white, blue, purple wing things that are here in LA somewhere.
So I was exhausted in the evening, but I decided to go to the gym. I wanted to move my body because I've been overworking myself a little bit, and I've been sitting in front of the computer a lot. I was like, I got to walk to the gym, and I got to move my legs a little bit. So I went to a spin class, and I'm very indifferent about spin. I'm not one of those people who's like, yes, spin is life. or anything like that. But I got into class, I went on my bike, and we started the class 10 minutes late, which annoyed me because I dragged my ass to the gym anyway. That was hard enough.
Right.
And I'm prepared to put in, it's kind of the same thing we were talking yesterday about traffic.
Right.
When the arrival time keeps going up, you just sit there and go, why? So the class was supposed to start at 6:45. It didn't start until 6:55.
Oh, the
class,
the horror.
Right. But I was already pedaling for 10 minutes going, well, now I should cut off 10 minutes of my ride because I've already put in 10 minutes of my time pedaling.
I totally would be that person.
So then he says there's going to be 15 songs and it's going to be just under an hour, which is BS because it's supposed to be a 50-minute class.
So now it's an hour and 10 minutes for you.
Exactly. So now I'm not getting out of here until almost 8 o'clock. So we're about to start and he goes, we're waiting for one more person. And I'm going, why are we waiting for this person? I don't understand why we can't just start the damn class. Then in walks in some girl named, I forget her name. It was like Laisha or something like that.
Oh, my God. Laisha?
Yeah.
I love that person.
Don't you?
Oh.
She walked in.
She's my world.
And she's, you know how you walk a little differently when you're wearing spin shoes? You're kind of doing that embarrassing.
Because they've got the weird cleat on the bottom.
Yes,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So you kind of look dumb anyway when you're walking. But this girl looked so uncomfortable walking in these little shoes. But she was smiling at everybody like, I'm here, everyone.
I've arrived
and
late.
And we were like, who is this person? And she had never been to a spin class before. The owner of the gym walks her over to a bike, lowers the seat for her, clips her feet into the things for her.
Lord.
And they're going, are you comfortable? Are you good? And she's just going, yes, everything's great. And I'm going, is this Ariana Grande? Like, who
she's
is this person?
She's obnoxious at this point.
Already.
Yeah.
And I had to sit back and laugh about it a little bit. So we're waiting for this girl to get, Laisha or whatever her name is, to get all set up and ready to go. And so she starts pedaling. And right away, at the first couple songs, it's just about going really fast and getting your heart rate up. She's doing whatever the hell she wants and is Instagram storying while she is riding the bike.
Oh, God,
hey, guys, welcome to my channel.
Right?
This is so LA. Like,
And that's why I got pissed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I live outside of the area
to
avoid this. This is what I don't want, is to go to the gym and feel like I'm around people who are filming themselves going to the gym.
Yeah, because they're at the gym and they want to... Yeah, I get it.
So
I'm with you on this one.
She films herself in the first two songs and then posts it, and the instructor's phone keeps pausing the music because he's getting notifications about her posts.
I could vomit right now.
So they are like working together, and he obviously tried to get her into one of his classes so that she could promote. So it's this whole thing, right?
So we're already 10 minutes late. Then we start even later because she's late. And now we
and
have
now
to,
the music's
the whole
pausing
class.
Because she's posting and he's getting notifications
I hate
about
her now.
I hated everything. And then
she
I hated the
world,
music because they
her.
Were what?
She used to be my world, but now I hate her.
You're so up and down.
Yes, I am. You know.
You're so uncommitted. So then she films the beginning of the class and the end of the class. She doesn't work barely at all during the class.
I was going to say, was she actually going up and going,
oh, she was like 10 pounds, but not. She, when you're that skinny, you don't have the strength to even do the class. You're just like, oh, get me through on bone broth.
God. Welcome to my channel.
Welcome to
on
my
bone
channel.
Broth.
And so bee pollen.
Yeah.
So then she posts the end of it like, oh my gosh, I made it.
It's like you weren't even doing anything.
I mean, it was past 8 o'clock by the time I got out of there, and I left feeling, why did I go to this? And then I noticed that she was not the only one. There were other influencers. It was like Tales from the Millennial Crypt. There were other ones popping up. I saw another girl in towards the end of the class put up her phone, and she had the flashlight on the phone while she was filming herself.
But then again, she might not have been another influencer. She might have been someone who knew who this other girl was and wanted to show that she was in the class with her.
Oh, that's even worse.
You know, like if you're in a SoulCycle class and Beyonce comes in because she does it a lot, or Michelle Obama or something. I'm sure other people have pulled out their phones and they're like, oh my God, I'm in SoulCycle with Beyonce. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, it was Beyonce.
Oh. You go to break. Just no, get out of here.
No, but quickly, I just wanted to say, these are the people that other people seem to care about. These are the people that are influencing others on social media. Those are the people who are filming themselves completely distracted from life and making me distracted from life because she's filming herself doing something and then posting it and other
she's
people are looking
herself
at that.
Half doing something
yes.
So that other people will come actually do it.
And then other people are going, wow, that girl's the one that I want to be like.
That's really obnoxious because she's not even actually doing the thing that people are then going to go try and do because she did. That she doesn't actually even do. We'll be right back.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well,
Allie,
I was unaware.
Let me tell you.
That the Little Mermaid Live happened last night.
So was I. Until the last 20 minutes.
I didn't realize that you even watched it.
Well, I knew this was coming, but I haven't seen marketing for this in weeks. And so I didn't realize it was last night. And so then I think I was on my phone or something and I saw someone say something about the Little Mermaid Live.
So you were like, oh, I'll check
it
out.
Oh, no. I got an email from the publicist that was like sending out the photos like Little Mermaid Live is happening. And I was like, what's going on? So I turned on the TV. While the TV is like starting, I'm looking and I'm seeing like photos of Queen Latifah on stage in the publicist email. So I'm like, is this happening right now? So I turn it on.
Because I had gotten confused about which cast members were in the Little Mermaid Live and which ones were going to be in the movie.
Another perfect example of a horrible decision from ABC and Disney, because they're doing the live action movie and then they do the live action musical, which wasn't a live action musical. So I turned it on and Queen Latifah, whom I adore, and like she's beautiful in like this Ursula outfit, she's on stage and she's singing Poor Unfortunate Souls. And I'm like, oh, cool. I tuned in just to catch like the end of her song.
Yeah, I believe we have some of it.
Yeah.
And I was reading on Twitter that she saved the show.
Well, to be fair, I saw the last 20 minutes because I didn't know it was on, right?
So you didn't know the atrocity that had happened before you tuned in.
Right. So then she finishes the song and then like you see her like in a cartoon mirror and then like it's backing out and it's like slowly fading into the animation and I'm like,
Into the
original movie from like 83. And so I'm like, oh, we're like, we have a clip of the movie? This is interesting. And the clip goes on and on. And I'm like, are we just watching the movie? So then, we go, like, literally, it wasn't just, like, just a moment of the movie. It's, like, Ariel with no voice, and she's trying to get to the wedding on the ship. They get on the ship. They ruin the wedding. Eric kisses her. The sun goes down. She gets her voice back.
So Ursula, it's literally the last 20 minutes of the movie.
It's the last whole part of the movie. So then I'm like, what? And then it goes to commercials like the big finale of The Little Mermaid is next. And I'm like, oh, maybe there's something that's going to happen. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's more of the movie.
No way.
And then more of the movie, more of the movie, more of the movie. And then they come out and sing a song at the end. And I'm like, what just happened here? And then I'm also reading Twitter because I'm like, I can't be the only person that's confused by this. And I see someone that's talking about Shaggy not being in the crab suit because he's playing Sebastian.
Well, somebody was comparing him to Eddie Murphy in Delirious.
He
was just in like
a red outfit, leather, like a jean, look like a jean suit or something, but it's leather. It's red, and he's just like dancing around.
They're
and
like, I'm like, they couldn't even give him claws.
They didn't give him claws.
He just had bare hands.
I'm like, I'm so confused. They all come out and they're singing like the big finale or whatever, and then they're just kind of like, literally, the choreography is them walking around in a circle around the round stage at the end. And I'm like, what is happening? And I'm trying to figure out why they're doing it this way. Justin was like, it seems like they like ran out of time or something, and they were just like, oh, I'll just run the movie. And I'm like, literally, that's what it felt like. I didn't see the first hour and 40 minutes, so maybe I missed something extraordinary.
Thank God you didn't.
Oh my God.
You could have wasted so many more minutes of your life.
I was just sitting there. I was saying to you in the break, I remember realizing that I was looking at the screen with my mouth just agape for minutes, and I was like, oh my God, I've been like staring at the screen, like looking like this the whole time. Like, what is going on?
But then, so you wonder, is that what they wanted? Did they just want people to, because I think that the live musical thing I think most of them get slammed. I think most of them get pretty bad reviews, but they don't seem to care. They just want people to watch it.
Generally a fan of the idea of the live musical thing.
I just don't think they've done it well.
Michael Kilgore, who we've had on the show, he was in Jesus Christ Superstar with John Legend. He did The Wiz with Queen Latifah. Amber Riley was in this last night. Amber Riley has been working because she was doing at the Pasadena Playhouse here, Little Shop of Horrors, and then I think went directly into this. But I was thinking to myself,
well, she obviously didn't need to rehearse much for this because there was nothing in it.
Well, one of the things that always annoys me about the live television musical is that there's always an audio problem. Like, there's always issues with being able to hear the people singing. And Amber Riley is coming and singing the finale song. And I'm like, why can't I hear her? Like, it's so annoying to me. They still have not gotten this right. They've been doing it for years. And every single time, I'm like, there are so many missed opportunities here. I remember when it first started, my whole thing was, I remember Carrie Underwood doing the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And then I saw The Wiz. And
that
I remember thinking, like, these need an audience. Because, like, musicals need the audience response and the laugh and the applause. And they've added audiences and they've gotten a little better, but there's always bad sound. I don't know what they were doing with the World Mermaid
last night.
Or on
the flip side, they'll basically just turn it into a concert where it's like, here's a celebrity singing something from the musical, and then everyone's like, wah! You know, like you're at a concert. But
I would almost rather have the concert-y thing, because they did that for the anniversary of Wicked. They brought back the original cast and did a bunch of the songs, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but just do that.
But like, I don't understand what they're doing with these lives and why they cannot get it right.
Well, Louis Homan put it really well on Twitter and said, if this Little Mermaid is any indication of what's going on in the ocean, I say we keep using plastic straws.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Allie, I know you're still reading some of the tweets from The Little Mermaid last night. The Little Mermaid Live, excuse me. And I use live in major air quotes.
You mean the screening of the film along with a couple of
sing-along
mermaid
moments.
Tales?
Oh my God, yeah.
Somebody said, for those who are wondering, Shaggy did wear crab claws in early rehearsals and it looked ridiculous. There is a picture of him with crab claws. So either he forgot to go on stage with them or they decided this looks awful.
I hate it.
There was also, I guess Flounder looked ridiculous. It was like this $5 cheap ass like plastic
I just don't
toy.
Know what they were doing.
So somebody said, when you order online versus when it comes in the mail, and the ordering online is like the original animated one, and then they have this crappy ass. I mean, it looks terrifying. It kind of looks like Chuck E. Cheese style animatronic scary Flounder.
I don't understand what they were doing last night. I don't get it.
Then I guess the SVP of ABC, Robert Mills.
Oh, he was upset.
He was upset that there were so many negative comments.
Yeah.
So he retweeted one random dude in Texas who said, I don't care what anybody, oh no, this is him. I don't care what anybody else thinks. My man Edward Sanchez said it's the best thing ever and that's good enough for me. Okay, and that's the random guy in Texas. It's Edward Sanchez in Texas.
I just don't understand. Like, the thing about this for me, and I don't think this gets enough attention is like how much work goes into these.
Yes, and how much money.
Well, and like how many layers of approval there are that have to happen for something like this to go on. And so like the idea that you guys spent all this money, months and months of production, you know, layers and layers of network approval and director's approval and producers going through back and forth and like, and this is what you guys did, I just don't understand.
Well, and I know this is the last thing I'll say, but you know how when movies are really bad, they'll over-promote them?
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't even over-promoted.
No, this was hardly promoted at all.
It was for a bit, it seemed, when the casting was coming out.
And then they were like, this is going to be crazy. Let's not even promote this. Well, speaking of things that got over-promoted and turned out pretty badly, I will tell you the election last night that happened in Virginia and in Kentucky didn't go very well for the folks in Kentucky. In Kentucky, the incumbent governor really promoted himself as a Trump supporter and really was pushing this election as Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Donald Trump even went to Kentucky the night before the election to really drum up support. That overpromotion turned out to be a dud as well because they definitely were disappointed when he lost to his challenger.
It's funny because I was listening this morning to KNX. They were doing some kind of a briefing on what the elections were like yesterday and how they turned out. And several of these states where Democrats won, they were also comparing to how many votes or what percentage Trump won by in the 2016 election, which is an interesting comparison because you say, he got 60% of the vote in Kentucky or wherever it was, and then to have them lose their Republican stronghold there.
So in Kentucky, he won by 30 points against Hillary Clinton, and then last night, the Republican lost by a slim margin, but he lost nonetheless. Even just like catching up to the person is still a 30-point swing. So it's just kind of surprising how this election kind of turned around. And then also in Virginia, the Republicans took both the Senate and the House, so they will control the full state legislature there in Virginia. It's an interesting omen to see what might happen in 2020, right? Because Democratic voters have been turning out, and then some of it seems like it's, you know, voting against Donald Trump in states that were solidly, you know, red. So
that were not swing states.
Kentucky's not a swing state so much. Virginia, I don't think the state legislature there has been under Democratic control in like a quarter of a century. So it's been a while.
Okay. And then this will affect the Electoral College, right? Which had everybody up in arms in the 2016 election.
Won't necessarily affect the Electoral College per se, like how many votes they get, but it will impact the way that the gerrymandering has happened in the past. We talked about how
Republicans talked about
how they've gerrymandered those states so that they can move their districts to choose who's going to be their voters and all that kind of stuff. Seemingly, a Democratic legislature can come in and change those things. I don't know. Each state has different rules about when those cutoffs are going to be, and so they may still have time to be able to make some impact for the next election.
I see. Okay. So it's not necessarily going to change the Electoral College, but it will have a positive effect for...
It could. You know,
it's a negative effect for Trump, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, just to be fair, the Republicans did have a win last night in Mississippi in their governor's race. Tate Reeves will be their governor coming out of this election. It's interesting, though. there's a headline that says, "Remember the cyclist who flipped off Trump's motorcade? She just won a Virginia election."
No way!
And so, like, this woman... there's a photo of her like riding her bike alongside Trump's motorcade when they were in town, and she like flips them off. She ended up losing her job and like getting in a lot of trouble.
Picture, yeah.
Well, she ran for office last night and won, so like she kind of had the last laugh in that one.
Hey, years later, anybody who bikes like that on a regular basis should win something because it looks, every time I see a biker like that on the side of the road, especially when they're going uphill, I'm like, more power to you. I don't know why you find that enjoyable.
Yeah. I don't understand.
So she's a hard worker.
Yes,
good for
her. Yes. We'll take a quick break when we come back. More Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
So we're just taking a look at some of the updates of things that are going on. Last night, we sent an email to Felicity Huffman.
You did. You're on it.
I did. I sent an email because, you know, we love Felicity Huffman.
Let's just, for context here,
yes.
We have the package here in the studio. We sent her a care package to the tune of, we put a box of ramen in there, we put a can of mackerel in there, we put a fan.
We put her the script clicks. To her movie, what was it called?
Transamerica. And then we also sent a nice little card that had a written note in it, and we sent it over to the prison because we knew she was going to be there. It was going to arrive on time, you know, even though she only served 11 days as opposed to the normal 14 that she was sentenced to, theoretically it would have reached her in time. We received the package back yesterday, and the reason rejected.
Both of us were actually surprised. I thought like it either wouldn't get there or that they would like just
throw it away.
I never thought about the fact that it could be a return to sender.
And it was a return to sender. And the reason was that it was an unauthorized package. So I blame Ginger Justin because of the serial killer presentation of said package.
Indeed.
But still, we have received it back, and I think that it's important now that we get it to her regardless. So you were on the phone with the publicist's office.
I called the publicist yesterday.
This was during the show yesterday, and you're very professional when you talk on the phone. You're saying, hello, I would like to email the following publicist about a booking, and I need that person's information.
I'm a professional, Allie.
You do? Yeah. I mean, if I called, I'd be like, hey, we sent a care package with ramen in it to Felicity, she probably won't want to talk to us, but I'm with a station, and maybe who could I talk to about that? They'd be like, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, but no.
So they gave you the information, and you emailed the publicist. What exactly did you say?
I sent an email yesterday to the publicist basically saying, you know, we love Felicity Huffman. We sent her a care package. Like, I know that it's a rather sensitive time for her
good.
To be doing
That's
interviews.
Good. Yeah, because, use the word sensitive. They like that.
Well, because realistically, like, Felicity Huffman's probably not doing interviews right now. I could imagine why.
No.
I'm sure she's not, like, geeked to talk about the prison stint. But also, the reality of this dealing with publicists is she's probably given, like, an exclusive interview at some point. Either already has or is going to, or is writing about it, or, you know, doing something about it. So, I said, like, hey, we know this is a sensitive issue. She's not thrilled about talking about this. However, we're fans of hers. We sent her a package in prison. And we wanted to, like, talk to her about what she's working on next, you know, how things are going now. And, you know, how can we make this happen? So
it says, we'd love to have this is your email. We'd love to have a lighthearted conversation with her, give her the package we sent, and chat with her about her next chapter. How could we possibly make this happen? Very best regards, Jarrett Hill, journalist, VP of the National Association of Black Journalists of Los Angeles. I think it's a very professional email.
Well, you know, I do a lot of booking emails.
That was 19 hours ago that was sent. This has not been responded to yet, but hey, there's still time.
It is not. But I don't expect to hear back, just being honest. I'm going to send a follow-up in another day or two, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, great. I'm really excited. Yesterday, we've gotten some comments on social media, at DTS Show, by the way. If you're not already following us, please do. We just posted our fresh, brand spanking new logo, and people have some comments about that. But also, people were commenting on our Instagram story yesterday because we posted a little snippet of yesterday's show, and we were talking about most annoying sounds in the world. Ginger Justin decided to troll me a little bit, and here's what happened. All right, talking about the most annoying sounds in the world for Just the Tip Tuesday this week. Here's another one. Another celebrity has made a cameo, and this is... let's take a listen. I wonder if you agree. I'm a bitch.
Troll.
Hey! I said celebrity, you douche!
Yeah, that was my bad.
That is not... I didn't say shrill lesbian. Play the damn Gilbert Godfrey clip.
I did not realize how hard I was laughing at that.
So yeah, Jake Strada on Instagram said, oh my God, Jarrett's laugh, with a bunch of emojis, because I didn't realize... I knew that you laughed pretty hard, but listening back, I didn't realize that there was a separate... When someone laughs that hard and then they take a deep breath and they go...
It was fantastic.
Oh, it's a real confidence booster.
Yes, a real confidence booster. But the democratic process is coming up next. Maybe you'll get some confidence in your votes.
That's true.
Up next, we've got News It or Lose It. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents News It or Lose It.
That's right. It is now time for News It or Lose It. But before we do our first headlines, there is a bit of a breaking story that Allie would not tell you, but I will.
Aww.
The new, my new shoes just came in the mail, and I'm kidding.
Like,
you were like, okay, I thought this was going somewhere else. Really excited for Allie. You know, she's been working on a new pilot called Butch Pal for the Straight Gal, and the trailer for it just dropped. So I just put it in our Insta story on Drop the Subject, so
you guys can check it out.
You're
I'll retweet it too from the show account at DTS Show if you want to check out the brand new Hot Off the Presses official trailer for Butch Pal for the Straight Gal.
Yes.
And you can also support us. We are running another campaign for for post production at butchpalseries.com. Thank you, Jared.
So congratulations on that. You've been working very hard.
I have.
Let's get to the headlines.
Now it's time for you to work. You have some decisions to make because I have five headlines in front of me. Here's the first one. This is News It or Lose It. Blind spots are now dead?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Headline number two. Only children are more likely to be obese, according to a new study.
Oh, jeez Louise. Yes.
Maybe this is because they get more presents. Headline number three. Lady Gaga says she sees a lot of pain when she looks at her Oscar.
I'm only going to say yes to this because I was listening to her on an Oprah podcast this morning, but otherwise I would have said pass. So
okay.
News it.
Headline number four. Sealed bags for delivery drivers have been suggested after delivery drivers seen eating the food that they deliver. And then finally, headline number five. Santa's elves are going to be working extra hard this year to make this American Girl doll covered in Swarovski crystals.
I feel like because anything to do with American Girl gives you PTSD, I'm going to lose it.
Okay.
Just for your own mental health.
All right. So you got blind spots, only children being fatter than kids who have siblings, Lady Gaga saying she sees pain in her Oscar, and sealed bags for delivery drivers to keep them from eating your food. All that's up next.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
We're getting into News It or Lose It, but we're in here working on our version of the music video, working on our choreography. That's going to be coming to you on Instagram very soon.
I mean, hey, when you want something to happen, you just say it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's gonna happen. Now we have to follow through and actually do it.
Well, I mean, CornCon's coming next October 30th, which is, you know, going to be a huge day for us here.
It is, yeah. And this is just going to be a really long ramp up.
We're just really excited for Ginger Justin in this leotard with the waist trainer thing in the middle.
Well, we have to tweet out the video, the music video, because the guy leotard that's just tight pants that go all the way up to the under boob area is just a great...
I mean, it's a hot outfit.
It's a great invention.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to see Ginger Justin in that in a parody video.
Tossing his hair back and forth.
Would make me so happy.
We'll flat iron his hair so it'll move a lot.
Yes,
yeah,
like Jonathan Van Ness style, where
exactly.
It's like long and flowy. Okay, let's start with the possible solution that has been created for the blind spot.
Also, just want to note, Ginger Justin's not in the studio, but we will soon find out if he's actually listening right now.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. That's a good test. So we've talked about blind spots before. We've also talked about how the blind community, well, at least one person in the blind community, we talked about this when Travell Anderson was here, it wants to get rid of the term blind spot and use the term dead angle instead. It's a controversial change, but now it might not even matter because a 14-year-old from West Grove, Pennsylvania, has just created a prototype designed to eliminate every car's blind spot. She just won $25,000 for this invention.
Okay.
So if you are 14, I mean, when I was 14, I was literally doing absolutely nothing. So the fact that this woman has done this is pretty amazing.
Oddly enough, I was learning the choreography to music videos when I was 14 for high school.
At 14,
I was in high school.
I guess I probably was too.
Learning dances to do at
rallies. I
think
I was probably still like Spice Girls. Maybe that was more like 12 years old by that point. Anyway, so she noticed the problem first when she realized her mom didn't like driving their family Jeep because it had bad blind spots. So she created this prototype where, I guess, and this was part of a science fair, it uses a webcam, a projector, a 3D printed adapter, and a retroreflective fabric in order to make a car's A pillars invisible by displaying the image of the blind spot behind them onto the pillar. So you know the sides.
Wow.
If that makes any sense, when you see your car's windshield in front of you, there are these two pillars on either side, which make it kind of hard to see.
This
even
is so cool.
When you're crossing, you know, there's somebody crossing the street, it's kind of hard to see them. There's a little blind spot there. So it literally makes for a see-through pillar.
Yeah.
You can actually see
it
through it. Yeah, it's projecting it onto the pillar so that if you see a car drive by or you see a person walking by, there is no blind spot there, essentially. So it's a pretty amazing invention.
I'm going to tweet out the link to this so you guys can check it out.
So many links to tweet out.
I know,
we have my official trailer for Butch Pal for the Stray Gal. We have Sam Smith's music video.
Well, that's coming. That's in pre-production.
Yeah, but we have to tweet out the actual original video so people can familiarize.
Noted. I'm going to tweet both of those things out right now.
All right. A couple more stories headed your way. Only children more likely to be obese. Are you one of these people? We will find out next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
What?
Emmy said, 5 seconds and we's back.
We's back. Yes, we are.
Allie, you've got two more stories for us, live from News It or Lose It.
I do. One about only children and one about Lady Gaga, who is not an only child, I believe.
Okay.
I think she has siblings.
Let's do the only children first.
Okay, so you are not an only child.
I'm not. I'm one of six now.
And are you the oldest?
I was the oldest, and now I'm a middle child. I know that sounds weird.
Wait, you were the oldest, and now you're a middle child?
Both of you look so puzzled. My dad remarried. My stepmom has two kids that are older than me, which made me a middle child.
Okay, so that's actually kind of the same for me then.
Yeah.
I'm actually all of them. I was an only child for the first 8 years of my life.
First seven.
And then I got my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
my brother.
Mm-hmm. And then my dad got remarried and my mom got remarried. So now I have step siblings that are older than me and younger than me. Anyway.
Wait, so that's exactly the same. I have one biological brother and I have two younger step siblings and two older step siblings.
So there we go. Yeah. I started off in this world alone. I had all the toys in the world just for my own. I had Christmas. I had so many wonderful things that I didn't have to share with anybody. Thankfully, actually, it's kind of the same because my sister and I never shared toys. We have completely polar opposite interests.
I remember being really little and saying to my parents that I wanted a little brother or sister so I could have someone to play with. And then he got here and I was like, he doesn't do anything. And I was so disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think that I had the same thing where my sister was born and I was like, yay, a sister. And then I was like, she's sleeping again.
Exactly. Like, oh my God, how many times can you change this diaper?
Well, if you are an only child and you always have been, I don't know if this might be bad news or it might be something you know already. You are at higher risk for obesity than children who have siblings. This is according to a new study. The study looked at the eating habits and body weight of only children or singletons, as researchers call them. And then they found that they have typically a less healthy diet. They have less healthy eating habits and beverage choices than families that have multiple children. And I wonder why this is, because I would imagine when I was an only child, I would eat at least two bowls of cereal every morning. It was amazing.
Yes.
When you finish that bowl of Lucky Charms and then you just pour more
literally never eat enough cereal in one bowl.
Never.
Never.
There's not a bowl big enough.
There's not. Even if you use like a big mixing bowl, it's a little like, nope, I need a little bit more.
Yeah, but then I imagine when you're a family of five,
it's a lot harder to get the second bowl.
That second bowl, I mean, you could go through an entire box of cereal just
in one sitting. Yeah.
So you're not really going to get those seconds that you normally would get when you're an only child. Several studies in addition to this one have shown that only children are more likely to have overweight or obese. Why is that? While this study doesn't provide the answer to that question, it is helpful in building the body of research. Oh, body of research. That's such shade, CNN. And eventually we'll provide clearer answers. So we don't know exactly why yet, but I think that my cereal bowl theory is enough.
I think the cereal bowl scenario is probably something to do with it. And it also makes me feel guilty because when I was like 19, I was like, I want to have four kids. And then I was like, I want to have three. And then I'm like, maybe two. And I'm like, if I have one, I'm having more than enough. And now I'm like, oh, maybe Is it not good for their health? Or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, they get that quote-unquote spoiled only child type of reputation, which, I don't know, may change. But then I also, my wife is an only child, and it was very, very difficult for us to share.
Emmy, what are you thinking?
I think that singleton children tend to be more overweight because they don't have a sibling that will make fun of them for it constantly.
Oh.
And tease them.
So you don't have a sibling to fat shame.
That's right.
A great, great point.
Because, I mean, no adult wants to, like, feel like trash body shame. I mean, unless they are trash body shaming a child.
Yeah.
So, but your sibling will keep you in check. They will let you know anything that goes wrong on you.
You know what's funny? I went home to the Bay Area this weekend, and I saw my cousin who I grew up with. So he's always been like a sibling. And I walked into the restaurant, and he was like, "So we've been eating."
We?
And I said, "Excuse me?" I was so...
And like, this was a friend?
This was my cousin. Like, we've been friends
so
my whole life.
That's so funny, because I was just about to say, cousins can fat shame too.
Oh, yeah, no. He literally, the first thing is, "So we've been eating." No, I mean, it looks... I was like... Don't you dare, try and walk it back now.
You look healthy.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's finish up with Lady Gaga, because she has said some things about her Oscar and how she feels about it.
Gaga? Oh, my God.
That's right. Gaga, oh, my God.
Gaga?
She just did an interview with Oprah for Elle Magazine's December issue, and she spoke about her album, or her Oscar, because Oprah said, "When you look at it, what do you see?" And she said, "I see a lot of pain, and I wasn't lying in that moment when I said that." She said that she is constantly reminded, even in her proudest moments, she's reminded that she was raped repeatedly at 19 years old, which I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Her history of self-harm by cutting, the chronic physical pain that she's in, and all the ways that she tried to recover, including encouraging others. Neuropathic pain trauma response is a weekly part of her life, she explains. "I'm on medication, I have several doctors, and this is how I survive. But you know what, Oprah? I kept going. And that kid out there, or even that adult out there who's been through so much, I want them to know that they can keep going and they can survive and they can win their Oscar." So a lot of pain, but a lot of joy.
Yeah, she's on the new episode of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday podcast, and they've got a really in-depth conversation about kindness and her foundation and her new House Laboratories cosmetics line. So you can check that out on the Oprah podcast. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, more Drop the Subject. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I'm a big fan of the Jonas Brothers. I thought they did really great at We Can Survive and that song Lonely right here on the new Channel Q.
I've watched the documentary of them because Katie forced me to watch it.
Oh, that's right. You said you watched that.
And then I watched them in concert. Still can't tell any of them apart. But I really enjoyed their performance.
Oh, really? So, yeah, when I was younger, I used to think Joe was the cute one. And then when they broke up, that Nick was the cute one. Nick is the one that's married to Priyanka Chopra.
I know who they're married to, but if you did like a cup swap, I wouldn't know.
Which one was which?
Which one was which?
I always forget the third brother's name. I mean, what's the third brother's name?
There's Kevin.
Nick,
is
Joe,
Kevin?
And Kevin. Yes. Kevin is the one.
Yes!
Kevin is the one that had some health issues after they broke up. And he had the show with his wife on E! Or something like that.
Okay. He was the one who left, and then they were like, they performed without him.
Yeah,
in the documentary, that was a very turn. That was a.
I never saw
big...
the documentary.
Okay, well,
I wasn't that.
They talk about it over beers and shots.
I just always say Nick is very cute, but he still has like a very boyish thing that doesn't appeal to me. Like, I need him to gain like 20 pounds.
Well, that should lead us into the GMA just perfectly.
Oh. Because you look at me.
My question is related to the age of the people that you date.
Okay.
How young will you go? How old will you go? And why?
Interesting. Okay. Ryan Mitchell from Let's Go There always makes fun of me for saying this, but like, youth has never been attractive to me. So like...
That's a good thing for most people.
Well, I mean, like, I'm not attracted to guys younger than me. So like, a guy will be... If I... meet a guy and I'm attracted to him and then he's like, "Oh, I'm 25 I'll be like,
oh goodbye,
please get out
of here.
So generally my rule right now, I can go like a little bit younger than me, but maybe a year or two. Like, you can't have a two in front of your name. I'm 34. You can't have a two in front of your age.
It's like having a two in front of your name sounds kind of fun.
Like, I'm literally
so
only
dating
two.
You would never date two chains.
I was going to say, I'm literally only dating two chains. But yeah, I generally am not into guys that are younger than me. And also,
but why?
If I'm on Tinder, I don't know. Like, I've always been like, I've always found appeal with like guys that were older. And even if I'm on Tinder, if I'm like swiping left and right, there's a difference between looking good for your age and looking youthful, as opposed to, those are two different things to me. Like, you can, you know, like, oh, you're 40, whatever.
But you looked really in your 30s good. Or something, right?
There's a difference between that and like, you look like you're 22.
Well,
like,
it's funny
that's not
how, did you, have you noticed that when you get older, someone who is 20 or 22 looks like a little
child.
Baby?
A child,
because
yeah.
I will see, I mean, even at the We Can Survive concert, I saw some younger people there. Of course, Taylor Swift's there, so you're going to see teeny boppers.
Right.
And there were people that I was like, you've got to be 10. And they were like 16.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, is that just my eyes getting old and being like, look at you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even still, like, we always joke about me having Instagram boyfriends. It's just like, this is an attractive person that I follow on Instagram. But like, if I find out that they are like 25 or 27, I'm like, oh, please.
You
like,
won't even follow them on Instagram?
I mean, I'll follow them, but like, them being hot doesn't matter anymore. It's just like, you just have a great
wow,
body, or
so
you're a handsome person, or you dress
you.
Well, or whatever. Yeah, it really is a turnoff.
Okay,
for
so
me.
Then how old have you gone, and how old would you go? Oh. Have you dated a grandpa? Just answer me that.
I've dated someone old enough to be a grandpa that didn't have any children.
Have you dated someone old enough to need a respirator?
No.
Have you dated someone without their own teeth?
No.
Okay, all right.
So my thing is, you can't be as old as my parents.
Oh.
You have to be younger than my parents. But I
How
also,
old are your parents?
My
what,
parents
60?
Are 56 and 57.
Okay, so what, you've climbed up on that?
I was talking to someone who was 51.
I feel like you would be real happy with someone who is 51. Just because I consider you to
yeah.
be a little more mature, older for your age.
Yeah.
I mean, when you were a kid, you said when you were a kid, you used to pretend to be a news reporter and wear a suit.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I relate to wearing a suit. When I was 8, I was doing that too. But you were doing it for a different reason.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, you're a very mature person, so I'd imagine that you would connect well with somebody who is older.
Yeah, I generally tend to. At this point, I'm kind of capping it. Like, if you're more than 10 years older than me, we probably shouldn't. I don't know. But I'm still open. But like, that's kind of like where I kind of draw like a gray line, or a dotted line, if you will, not a hard and fast one.
Well, you know, I will say that the benefit to dating somebody older is you're more likely to date someone who appreciates and remembers the radio.
Then that means
like,
listening.
I remember listening to baseball games.
I keep debating whether or not I want someone that's listening to my show. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but yeah. Then if you go younger, they say, what's radio?
They're like, what is that? Yeah, that's true. I don't know how much I want the person to be like involved in like my career. Like, I want you to come to events with me sometimes, but I don't need you like listening all the time. I don't know. But I also kind of appreciate that. I don't know. It's hard for me to figure
Katie
out.
Katie goes in and out, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Sometimes she just leaves it. And
yeah.
Sometimes she's like, I listened to your show today. It was so funny. And I'm like, oh, great. You still listen. You still care.
Right.
So it's a nice balance.
I don't like when someone knows who I am, though. Like, if they are like, oh, I know
right.
you from your show,
so
or
you
I know you from your whatever. I don't like that.
Dating someone with amnesia. If you have amnesia, call us and date Jared
that's
Hill.
That's not exactly what I meant.
833-77 call Q. The game may continue next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject is back, and we are in the middle of the game. Allie was asking me about age ranges, and
yes, and then we went to commercial, and wouldn't you know it, that's what they're talking about on Loveline tonight.
Which is funny because I'm on Loveline tonight. So
just we'll just you know what, Emmy, just pull the segment
exactly, yeah,
and we'll just play it.
And we'll just run that in Loveline tonight, yeah.
So I'll be on Loveline tonight, everyone. That's how I get on the show.
I will be on Loveline tonight, as we're talking about that, in the 8 o'clock hour Pacific time, 11 o'clock Eastern. So I'll be joining up with Dr. Chris to talk about love, sex, and relationships. Okay,
it's Allie. An ask me anything, Jarrett.
Sorry. Making this more about you. I wanted to know in what ways you feel you experience homophobia in the world or in your family or in your life.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because I feel that I've been pretty lucky in my life thus far. I think the first bout I ever had with homophobia was when I was dating a girl named Olivia. She lived in New York. We both did at the time. And she was a celebrity private chef. Really nice, dating a really good cook.
I'm saying.
Yeah, it was nice. She made bananas Foster on our first date. It was
pretty, what? Really,
yeah. It was nice. Anyway, cool. It was not meant to be, but we did go on
Katie's
a trip.
Katie's looking up recipes for Bananas Foster right now.
Bananas Foster is actually really easy to make, but it would stress her the F out.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
The flame on the over the stove thing, yeah.
I love you, honey. We were in South Carolina visiting her family. She had some family that lived in South Carolina, and we were walking through a park, and we were holding hands, and some lady walked by, and she went, "Spare me." And I was I turned around and I was like, what the hell was that about? And then I was like, oh, I'm in South Carolina. And people don't like this. Oh, that was somebody who's homophobic. And I kind of didn't compute right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the other main thing that I've experienced is with some of my wife's family.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't get into too many specifics, but around the time that we got married, it was something that we discussed because we wanted to invite people to the wedding that were in our family, but not necessarily all of them were supportive of the relationship. So we had a conversation about who do we invite to the wedding. And my opinion was, I only want people there that are going to be 100% supportive of our relationship. That's what the entire day is about, right? It's about supporting our union, supporting our marriage.
You're like, I'm wearing a damn dress today.
Yes. And I went through a lot to do this, so support me, goddammit. Yeah. No. And so it was kind of like, do we invite family? Because some family, it was like, well, you have to invite X, Y, and Z because you kind of get that pressure to invite certain family members regardless. But then you want only people there that are going to support you. So it was a little bit of a battle. We ended up inviting those people and they ended up having a great time and being supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing the gradual changeover of family members has been a really interesting part of our relationship to see, because we've been together for 10 years. So having people that were not supportive from the beginning to now being supportive has been really cool. So that's, and I wouldn't necessarily call that homophobia. I guess it might be.
It's an evolution.
I guess it's a type homophobia. Of homophobia. And then I also noticed, I know we have to go, but when I cut my hair, I noticed men looking at me differently, which was interesting, and women looking at me differently. Because I've always had longer hair or just, I haven't had a super quote-unquote gay haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So I could walk around. I know that if I wear flannel, it's a giveaway, but sometimes I don't necessarily present as being overtly gay.
Yeah.
And when I cut my hair, it's like part of it's shaved. I got in an elevator with somebody who was like looking. I could just feel eyes on me. And I was like, whoa, this is different.
Interesting.
Not necessarily that they were hateful or anything
but
I was like,
looking at
whoa,
you differently.
This is like.
They weren't looking at you as an option.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, I do feel like I've kind of had a privilege in that way compared to some other people. So,
okay.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to ask the question about what are the red flags that you've ignored on first dates? That's up next on Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Dating pet peeves. That's what we're about to get into here. And when do you overlook the pet peeve and just keep dating them? And when do you say, oh, no, this is a deal breaker. I got to run away. I said it earlier on the morning show when we were doing crosstalk that when I had my first date with Katie, this is Drop the Subject, by the way, with Allie and Jarrett. I was wearing an outfit that was not cute. I think I was wearing an outfit that I probably owned in high school.
Do you know do you remember what it was?
Yes, I do. It was a, yes, I do. It was a pair of jeans that were ill-fitting. I think rode up a little too high in the waist and they were just old. Like they just did not fit me very well anymore. And they kind of rode up like the ankle was a little too short, but not in like a cute way.
Not in the modern way.
No. And then I had a light green polo shirt that had blue and white stripes.
Why is this happening?
And
just, my God.
And then I think I was wearing, like, Vans or something.
My God, that sounds awful.
It was bad. It was bad.
Wait, okay, before we get into these pet peeves, why did you choose that to wear?
Because I was an idiot who didn't know anything about fashion. I didn't know how to dress myself. Like, it's always been a big challenge for me.
But like when you were planning on this date, like did you think about what you're, like you don't think about what you wear?
No, but I should. Okay. I didn't think about it. Or maybe I was like, this is cool. Yeah. This is casual for a concert. Because we met at a concert. It mm-hmm. was like an outdoor free concert that a radio station was putting on.
Did she have a look on her face when you walked up?
No, but she was wearing the same outfit that she wore in her dating profile.
Oh, that's right. You said that, yeah.
So anyway, there were both things going on with her outfit choices, but I overlooked that she was wearing her outfit from the dating profile because I was like, that's a little weird, but okay.
I kind of love that she did that. It is kind of strange, like, do you have one outfit? But it's also like, oh, this is how that you know who the person is. I think it's like very cool and very weird at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. And then she overlooked that I was dressed horribly, which she told me years later. She was like, yeah, it was something that I saw what you were wearing and I was like, oh no. But then when we actually were dating, I didn't think about it. And then I think that my outfit choices were a little better from that point on, but it got us thinking about what are those pet peeves or what are those turnoffs on your first date that you either overlooked or you said, hey, you know, this is too much for me. I'm not going to have a second date with you.
I will tell you, if the outfit is like really weird or crazy, it's definitely like, what's happening here? And I can also tell how into a first date I am by how much I think about what I'm going to wear.
Oh, okay.
And like, because I...
Well, I would imagine there's a little less
thinking about
pressure.
How much I'm sharing about myself here.
Oh.
No, but like, I will think about it. I'll just say that. Yes. I will think about
Come on, say it.
Well, I will think about it more if I'm going on a date with someone that I'm like excited to go out with. And if it's someone I'm just not really sure about, I'll be like,
sweats.
Actually, I have like these ill fitting jeans and a green polo with blue and white stripes.
Hey, now you're about to. No, who wore it best?
No, but like, I will definitely think more about it. And then I'll be annoyed like if I can't end up wearing what I want to wear. On a date, like I had a date where I ended up having to go straight from work and I didn't get to go home because like we changed the time and all that. And I was like, oh, this isn't really what I'd plan on wearing on the date. But okay.
You just kind of have to go with it at that point.
Got to make it work. Yeah.
So we posed the question on Instagram story. What are your first date turnoffs? And did you leave the situation or continue dating the person? We've gotten a couple replies here. Soulboy30 said a guy told a disgusting story about propositioning a homeless guy in our first date, which I promptly ran away from. Yeah, that is not a first date story. I'm sorry. That is at least a third to fourth date story.
You think?
Another person, I am Joe Carnal, said any overly sexual conversation, I cannot let it dominate the conversation. And I wonder if that's, do you find that is, I know the gay may is over, but do you feel that that's something that you think about with gay men dating?
Because being overly sexual?
Yeah, having over sexual dates. Because, I mean, it is a little bit more of a hookup culture than it is with women.
There's like a line for me. Like, I'm totally fine with like talking about sex. And it also depends on the context of it. If it's like funny, sarcastic, like, or just a little bit forward, that's sexy to me. But if it like gets to the point, I mean, let me also say, like, I don't have a problem with having sex on the first date, but sometimes like the conversation about sex is a little weird and it's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you talking about? Then it's a little strange. But
a little
like,
bit forward's okay. A little bit backwards. Being a little okay. Or is it?
I mean, it depends on what you're into. But yeah, I like a guy that's a little bit forward because I can be a little bit forward. But I find like the older I've gotten and like the more I've been concerned about like what are people comfortable with, mm-hmm. consent of like certain conversations, it's been harder for me. But like I feel like once I get a green light, then it's a little bit different.
Yeah. You gotta wait for that green light. Well, a few other things that have come through. Someone who's being rude to the wait staff.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a big turnoff. Smoking, of course, that's always going to be there. Taking pictures of your entree. Don't ever do that on a first date.
I don't so much mind that.
Really?
Yeah.
And then this one is definitely one for me. Being too quiet on the first date. I dated a girl who was like silent on the first date. And I was like, all right, bye.
Okay, so two of those are really big pet peeves for me. I'll explain why when we come back.
All right.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Oof, looking at this listing for Really Estate, and it is, oh my lord, I can't believe any person would spend any dollar amount to live here. It looks so sad, but we are finishing up first, before we get into the actual Really Estate, finishing up our conversation about dating pet peeves or dating turnoffs. And I listed a few. We've heard from you guys and heard many, many things, including being rude to the wait staff. That's a big turnoff. Smoking, taking pictures of your entree, and being too quiet on a first date. Or, as we were talking off there, people who do the opposite, people who talk too much.
Yeah. So, okay. Being mean to the waiter is a major red flag to me, because it says to me that you see yourself as above everyone else and like look down on other people. And because of that, you think it's okay to talk to them a certain way. I hate that.
That's something that...
It's almost a deal breaker for me. Yeah.
I think it is definitely a deal breaker, because there are so much underneath that.
Exactly.
It's not just, oh, you know, they click their mouth when they chew or something like that. That's something that's not conscious, and that's not necessarily reflective of them being a bad person.
Yeah.
If you're rude to wait staff, that is reflective of you being just a crappy person
in general. Almost like having really bad politics for me. Like, there's something beneath that, as you said, that like is going to end up being a problem for me later. So that is one of them.
And that's them being on their best behavior, supposedly.
At least on a first date,
you know what I mean?
Right?
Yeah. Like, if I could see if you're a couple years in or something like that, and then that comes out, you're like, oh, whoa, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But doing that on the first date,
Right, especially, yeah. If they're giving representative and that's what the representative is, like, you can only imagine
that's
what it's like when it gets worse.
That's some of their best behavior.
Smoking, like, cigarette smoke is basically a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
Like, it goes all the way back to being a kid. My grandmother smoked cigarettes when I was a kid, and, like, now the smell of it, like, just really even, like, just physically bothers me. Being too quiet is worse to me than talking too much.
I agree.
Being too quiet, I think I've said this on the show before. I've had a challenge with dates because I talk for a living, right? And so, like, if I have to keep the conversation going, I know how to do that, right? Like, you and I know that there's nothing worse than this.
When you talk for at least 30 seconds and then you eventually stop
and
you
hear, there's like this.
Wow.
The silence is like really weird,
like,
right?
What are you doing? What's wrong with
exactly.
you?
Exactly. And like, as an interviewer, silence is an interview tactic, right? If you stay quiet for a little bit, it makes the other person maybe answer your question a little bit more and things like that. But like, as a person on a date, like, I know how to continue a conversation until, for a long time, I'd be like, well, we had conversation all night, so it was a good date. And then I realized, like, you talk for a living. Like, you can have a conversation with an eggplant if you needed to.
I think for me,
eggplant, of all the things for me to say.
I would love to have a conversation with an eggplant. I have so many questions. How did you become the international symbol for penis?
Exactly.
How did that happen? Do you feel okay with it? Or would you rather change
back,
your
Allie.
Image?
Come back.
Eggplant,
come
talk back. To... Sorry. The thing with being quiet for me is that I am on a date with you to get to know who you are.
Yeah.
And if I can't break through to even have a conversation to see what your personality is like, maybe there is a personality under there and you're just shy.
Yeah.
But for me, like, there was a girl I dated in college for maybe two or three dates. And it was one of those things where friends were like, you guys should date. But it was just because we were two lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I met her. She was super goth and wore like really thick platform like combat boots.
I know you're not talking about what she had on.
Oh, you're right. That's right. Well, hey,
I know you're not talking about outfits.
Well, you know what? It was just, she wasn't my type.
Okay.
Apparently, that's someone with bad fashion that. Is Katie's type. You're right. That is so hypocritical of me. It's hilarious. So we go on this date, and she barely says two words.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay. And then she wanted to go out on another date. And I'm like, did you think that went well?
Because she liked you, but she didn't think about how she performed on the date.
Yes. Yeah. And then on our third date, we were sitting in her dorm room watching a movie. And just quiet, I mean, no talking, just sitting there quietly watching a movie. And then I felt so bad because she mustered up the confidence to put her hand on my leg.
Aww.
And then right when she did that, I was like, you know, I don't think this is working.
Oh, Allie.
I know, and I felt so bad, but I was also like,
not bad enough to not do it.
But I also didn't want to reciprocate because I didn't want to lead her in the wrong direction. And I was just like, you know what, at this point, I know this is not
going to work. For me, being too quiet is annoying because it indicates to me that you don't have an opinion. And like, I have friends that are like very chatty and like always have like opinions about this, that, and the other. And I've been out on dates with folks who, or like have brought people I was dating around friends, or have friends bring the person they were dating, and like we'll have a spirited conversation about anything, and they'll just be like cricket, cricket, and have nothing to say. And to me, that kind of, that is a turnoff in a way that I can't figure out, like, how do we engage in this conversation, or you don't have anything to say. That ends up being really boring to me. And then I also, I feel like I'm not going to be able to like draw things out. Like, how am I going to learn about you? I also find it to be frustrating because I'm a person who enjoys a good conversation.
Me too.
I want to know how you feel about things.
And even so, if you don't agree all the time.
Even if I don't agree, yeah. And so that is really challenging for me. And the conversation has to have something in it. Like, we've got to be able to talk about something, agree on something, disagree on something. I should be able to learn something from you, or you learn something from me, and those kinds of things. But if you can't even talk, it's just like, what are we doing here?
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, I am very excited. We're finally getting into real estate because we were rudely cut off before.
Stupid, the disrespect.
Pesky Ginger Justin over there cutting us off mid-conversation. Ginger Justin, have you ever gotten in trouble on a date
Ginger
for
Justin
a...
Ginger Justin pulled up to the microphone. I thought he was going to say something.
But well, I was going to say, don't blame me for you not being able to have a conversation.
Oh, shade. All right.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Let's move on.
We call that a callback in the business.
I think you've explained what a callback is
have
before.
We?
Okay. Yes, you've done that on Drop the Subject several times.
That's where you reference something.
Okay, thank you. Real estate. Here we go. Now, you actually broke a story for us yesterday about, or you broke down a story rather, about how they Apple is trying to solve the housing crisis in California, mm-hmm. right? But rental problems are not just partial to California. I mean, they're all over the country and they're all over the world. So I'm going to start with a real estate listing. And this is Real Estate. If you've never listened to this before, here's how it works. We share with you a real estate listing. It's usually a pretty crappy room or a shed or a three-bedroom house that's a teardown, basically, that's on the market for a ridiculous price. Then we give you something else that you could have bought with that money, and you just have to guess which one costs more. This week, we take you to a flat in London.
Okay.
Actually, not London, it's Brighton, which I guess is outside of London.
Love Brighton.
Don't you just love Brighton? And it's very small. It looks to be about, I mean, it's hard for me to convert.
Why, you just switch right in and out of that accent.
It's hard for me to convert the square footage because they use those pesky meters there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just show you a picture here, Jarrett. It is extremely small. I would say about the size of a prison cell.
I was going to say it looks like a jail cell.
Is the theme here. It's, quote, cozy, but it looks like a prison cell. And the reason why is because you see the room itself. It's a flat, right? So they call it a flat. It's really just a room.
I think calling this a studio would be generous.
Yeah, I don't even think
really
this
overstating
is a,
it.
This is a room.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
Well, there's a random toilet in there, though.
Well, that's...
We're going to tweet out the picture to this so you can see it.
So that's what's going on here, is there is a bed. So I'll just paint the picture for you. Picture a little square of gray carpet. And then picture a tiny bed on top of that carpet, overlooking a small window that looks out into a parking lot. Then, directly next to that bed, there's a square toilet. There's a separate square of blue linoleum where that toilet sits on, and then a small sink. So basically, you're looking at half carpet, half blue linoleum, with a bed, a toilet, and a sink, and a small window. There are also three mirrors in this room to make the room look bigger. Oh my God, there's also a shower in the part where the blue linoleum is, there's just like a drain and a shower spout.
Yeah,
so you don't even have a separate room with a separate tub.
The only thing that this thing can really offer you is that it looks very new. Like, it doesn't look like it's old or crappy or dilapidated. It's very new looking, but it definitely does not look like anywhere that's going to give you space. There's no entertaining. It's you coming home and going to sleep.
There's not even a place to put a hot pot. There's literally not a shelf. There's no nothing for you to store clothing in. Yeah, there's nothing for nowhere for you to cook a damn thing. It's literally, that's why it we say it looks like a prison cell, because right. It looks like this is where I sleep, poop, and shower.
This is where Felicity Huffman was staying for 11 days.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then the last thing I'll say is that on the gray section, the gray carpet section, there is a smaller section of gray carpet where it looks like they have... It looks like there's some kind of a weird trap door next to the bed where I don't know if that's where the gargoyle lives. I don't know if this is an attic, someone's attic.
Right.
Like, it looks like that if you lift up that carpet, there's going to be either a secret door or maybe a puddle of blood that's been covered up.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
It's cozy.
So that's your real estate listing if you want to live in Brighton. It's not even in London proper. You would maybe experience something like this if you're like on Wall Street in Manhattan or something
well,
like that.
Don't disparage good Brighton.
Good Brighton isn't a great place to live, you know, and it's a great place to raise a family if
I'm
you
sure
have 50 square feet.
Hating our Brighton accents, like you don't know anything about Brighton.
I don't. Yes. Not offhand. Not without research. Or, so here's what I'm going to do. That listing, if you were to live there and sign a 5-year lease... So you're going to live in that apartment for 5 years. Well, I can't even call it an apartment. You're going to live in that room for 5 years of your life. 5 years of your life are going to be spent literally essing where you sleep. Or you can get this new gold-encrusted iPhone 11 Pro brought to you by a company called Caviar. They are known for their very over-the-top iPhone makeovers. This is a lavish iPhone 11 Pro Discovery Solaris. Its creation required 0.5 kilograms of gold and 137 diamonds.
Oh.
So you see, you know, the new iPhone has those three cameras on the back, so you see that, but then it also has gold encrusted swirls on the back of it. And here's some details for you. On the back, nestled in the middle of all the bling, the gold, the diamonds, is a luxury watch complete with a tourbillon.
Oh, a good old tourbillon
yeah.
from Brighton.
Which is one of the most expensive add-ons a timepiece can have. And within the watch face, there's a special yellow diamond or a sunstone, which is probably also very expensive. The entire thing is meant to, quote, symbolize the eternal life that sun gives to our planet. But let's face it, the kind of person who would buy this sort of thing probably is not interested in symbolism of any kind. So... You can actually, I'm actually going to give you the price of this. It is $70,000.
Wow.
For this gold encrusted iPhone okay. that has a working watch on the back of it. So that or 5 years in this room.
5 years of the lease in the room.
What do you think?
I'm thinking if it's $70,000 divided by...
Get out your calculator.
I'm trying to think of like what that would break down to if I had 12 months for 5 years.
Prison bathroom, gold encrusted iPhone.
You'd have to, your rent would be $1,166 to be equal to the cost of the phone. I'm going to say that the most expensive of the two of them would have to be the apartment, though. 5 years? No. I'm going to say that the most expensive of the two is the iPhone.
The iPhone, final answer.
Well, I'm also thinking, like, it's diamonds and it's gold.
And don't forget that sunstone.
Yeah, I'm going to say the iPhone is the most expensive.
You are correct, Jared!
Oh.
The iPhone is $70,000, like I said. 5 years in this apartment, it is 11... It is 1,000 euros every month, which is equal to approximately $1,107 US.
That's crazy.
Which would run you $66,427 if you were to stay there for 5 years. You have won it. You win another Channel Q t-shirt.
Oh, I thought I was getting the phone.
No.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. I want to bring something up, a subject that I guess Ginger Justin tried to drop yesterday, but we will not allow it. Yesterday was a holiday.
You're approaching this from a perspective that is very different than mine. I actually feel guilt about this.
Oh, because, see, I feel anger.
Well, because I don't know that Ginger Justin knew about this. I guess he didn't know about it, and he felt left out.
So you felt that it was our responsibility to bring it to light, and that it wasn't his responsibility to say, hey, by the way, it's Love Your Red Hair Day.
Well, I keep seeing different things about what this day was called. I keep seeing it being Love Your Red Hair Day. I see it as Red Hair Day. I see it as Redhead Day. I don't know what it is, but it was a day that is clearly made for our own Gingy Cohen.
Well, someone else said that we've gone from All Souls Day, which is November 1st, to No Souls Day, which is November 5th. That's not a great way to say it. Ginger Justin, did you know about this day? And if you did, are you sad that we did not do a big special about it yesterday?
Didn't know, didn't care.
Wow.
Wow. He does have no soul.
Well, moving on.
Here, I think this is important because there's a little video in the this is a local Memphis news outlet that I found out about this. I follow the local Memphis, whatever the hell this is called, localmemphis.com for all important details on ginger-related stories. And it says that it is Love Your Red Hair Day on November 5th. Here are 7 little-known facts about gingers. And this is a wonderful photo collage. They have... Oh, was that your phone?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought Ginger Justin was trying to get out of this. There is a nice picture montage of like Getty Image stock photo ginger children, or as I like to call them, gildren. And they have
gildren.
Were you did you consider yourself a child? Ginger Justin?
Not answering.
Okay. There is a
the look on his face was, how do I even respond to that?
Are you aware of these facts, Ginger Justin? Having red hair and blue eyes is the rarest hair/eye color combination possible.
What color are your eyes?
I have brown eyes.
You have brown eyes.
All right, boring. Moving on.
Womp womp.
Researchers believe that redheads are more sensitive to pain.
Or do you feel like you're more sensitive to pain?
In this moment, yes.
Emotional pain or physical? But do you think you have a high pain threshold in general there, Ginger Justin?
I would say so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Ginger Justin, we're just trying to love your red hair today. We're trying to celebrate you, even if we're late.
It's true. This is important stuff.
This is important, Justin. Let us love you.
And you're more likely to have a higher threshold to pain because of a mutation in your genes that affect your hair color.
You're a mutant.
You're a mutant, which is kind of badass because the X-Men are mutants.
I'll take that one.
Okay.
He's just nodding.
He's just nodding.
Yep,
it's great for radio. Okay. The Redhead Days Festival is the largest global event for redheads.
Have you ever been?
No, maybe I have not done the pilgrimage back.
Oh, is it something that you've been wanting to do though?
No.
No.
You should get free airfare. It should be like that homeland visit.
Yeah, like the what was it, that thing?
Birthright.
No. We did that story about the guys who all had the same name, and they all met up at a bar.
Oh, it was Nigel.
Nigel Fest.
The Nigel Fest.
Yeah, Ginger Justin, what you don't know is we have worked together to get you tickets and a flight.
We haven't. It's not happening.
Can I even finish the line? Oh my God. We're going to be sending you to Redhead Fest.
But
you have to cover it for the show. So it's also worth
it. It's indoors, right?
It's definitely indoors.
It's out in the sun with no umbrellas. So, but
why would they do that?
But
this is to celebrate you. Burn!
But it is presented by Banana Boat. So it's going to be, yeah.
That's great. Good job, Jarrett.
You know.
So the pigment, there's another more good news for you, Ginger Justin. This is a good fact. The pigment in your red hair fades from red to blonde and white, and you are less likely to actually get gray hair.
Oh.
So you're less likely to go gray. That's exciting. Also, a 2014 study found that 30% of TV ads during primetime feature someone with red hair.
Wow, that's more than black people. So, I mean, you must be feeling really inclusive.
More than queer people.
Listen, yeah.
Well, after this segment, I am looking for a new gig, so.
Oh, are you trying to leave the show, Justin?
Yes.
We'll never let you go. We'll never let you go!
And despite plenty of debunked studies, redheads are not going extinct. So there you go. If you procreate, Ginger Justin, you are giving back to the redhead community. So Love Your Red Hair Day was yesterday, but we love your red hair every day, Ginger Justin.
We'll
thank you for your service.
Let you go.
We'll never let you go.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
Really exciting stuff. Music. We just scheduled a live News It or Lose It read with the announcer voice. It's going to be something really, really great. I cannot wait for that.
I love that we casually mention these things off the air, and then you just come on the air with it like, this is happening.
This
like,
is happening.
All right.
I'm excited about it. I mean, that's how CornCon became a thing.
I know.
And now we've sold.
That is the shining example.
Fives of tens of tickets.
We haven't sold any tickets.
That's because they're not on sale. But, okay, it's time for News It or Lose It. I've got five headlines. You have five votes. Here you go. Number one, man had family of cockroaches living in his ear canal.
Okay, you know what? I would like to news this because I need to prove to Katie that the cockroach in the frying pan issue is nothing compared to a family of cockroaches living in your ear.
I would think you wouldn't want to bring it up just so you don't want to mention it again. But
no,
okay.
I need to. She needs to know how good she has it.
According to her dresser, the queen has ditched real fur for fake.
No, lose it.
Oh.
Who cares about the queen's coat?
I mean, you love the royal story, so.
Why did you get that impression that I love the royals?
I know that you love the royals, so. You told us when you were drunk the other day. Those yams on your Thanksgiving table probably aren't yams at all.
Oh. Mm. Are they a family of cockroaches? Can't wait to find out.
I guess we'll see. Here's why AT&T will pay $60 million to settle claims it misled its customers.
Oh, sure.
And then finally, the dictionary.com word of the day, turophobia.
Whoa, yeah. I always want to know about any phobia.
Any phobia. All right, so a man had a family of cockroaches living inside his ear. Those yams on your Thanksgiving table? Probably not yams at all. Why AT&T is going to be paying out $60 million, and what the heck is turophobia? All those things coming up next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Drop the Subject. We have four News Its, and so that means we're going to jump into News It or Lose It.
Yeah, we are. I'm ready.
Did you not know the music was coming?
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
I'm actually tweeting out the link to the Real Estate article.
Oh.
The Brighton flat for $1,100 a month.
A little late there.
Well, yeah, but better late than never,
there
right?
There you go. If you're listening to the podcast, it's already there.
That's like the Ginger Appreciation Day.
Right.
Wow.
Always late.
So I should tweet this out tomorrow.
Yes.
Got it.
I can't stand you people. All right. So the first headline was, man had a family of cockroaches living inside his ear canal. Oddly enough, it comes from FoxNews.com. We're not going to talk about that. A man in China who woke up with a sharp pain inside of his ear was shocked to find out he had cockroaches that had made a home inside of him. The patient, identified as 24-year-old Mr. LV, they don't have like his full name on here, reportedly asked family members to shine a light into his ear to see what was causing the scratching discomfort when the skin crawling discovery was made. He said his ear was hurting a lot, like something was scratching or crawling inside.
Oh my God.
The ear, nose, and throat doctor that they went to told us, they said it caused a lot of discomfort. He told the news.
It's in your ear, your nose, and your throat. And I would know.
They told the news that there were more than 10 cockroach babies inside and that they were already running around.
Well, You could see this as gross, but also Thanksgiving. This is November. It's about family.
No, ew. And you're disgusting.
This is a family trying to make a home together.
The doctor said he removed the babies with the... I'm trying to act like you didn't just say that. Removed
nice.
The babies with a tweezer and also found the mother cockroach and was also able to remove her. He prescribed his patient an ointment and... He said that the guy's habit of leaving unfinished food near his bed likely contributed to the problem.
So there you go. That's a reason not to eat in bed, because I don't like eating in bed. And it's a pet peeve of mine because you get crumbs everywhere and then you'll get cockroaches everywhere, too.
Oh, my God.
I mean, to make a home in someone's ear, that has a shelf life. When you get to be probably 3 or 4 days old as a roach, you got to leave the ear. So, and then if you've gotten too big for the door, you know what I mean? You can't leave the ear canal. Where are you supposed to go? You got to go to other parts of the body.
They say it's not clear how long the cockroaches had been living inside his ear. But last year, a woman in Florida revealed that she had been living with a cockroach inside her ear for 9 full days.
Oh, I'm so glad you said days.
Oh, you were going to say
that. I was like, nine what? Exactly. 9 years?
That is just wild.
Those
to
things
me.
Can live forever. They live through anything.
They live through anything, yeah, including earwax. We've got more News or Lose It coming up next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report. Sort of.
Chris Brown is having a yard sale at his Los Angeles home today where he promises deep discounts on top designer clothing. The neighbors were not quoted as saying, well, that's one way to get women into his house again.
Well, I just found the address. Gonna see if I can run it. Run it.
I hope there's a 70% discount for women.
What?
This report was brought to you by Drop the Subject. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. Oh my gosh. So much happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on big things here for the show. So, like, for instance, explaining to you the difference between sweet potatoes and yams.
Oh, is that what it is? They're sweet potatoes?
Yeah. Apparently, we have been using sweet potato and yam interchangeably, but this article is breaking down, like, they're not even close to being the same thing. Which is
what?
Kind of crazy.
But they look exactly the same.
Well, that's what you think. It says yams and sweet potatoes are completely different vegetables, no matter what you call them. In reality, most Americans are probably piling sweet potatoes on their dinner plates around the holidays. The sweet potato is more Thanksgiving, according to an expert. They say there's a wide range of things you can do with them. You can make sweet potato pie, you can roast them, you can serve them as is, or put any kind of topping on them.
Mm, sweet potato pie.
Yams, on the other hand, are much less common in the United States, and it's a safe bet many Americans have never tried a true yam.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that, yeah, sure, maybe I'm always using sweet potatoes, but show me a yam.
Well, there's the thing.
I don't see a damn yam in the grocery store.
Hey, whoa.
I'm just saying, give me a GD yam.
Give me a GD yam. It says sweet potatoes and yams are both tuber vegetables, meaning they grow underground as a modification of a plant's root system. But otherwise, they're not even closely related. The sweet potatoes are likely originated in Central or South America, but the ones that we eat are U.S. grown. Sweet potatoes they come in many different colors, purple, orange, yellow, brown on the outside, and white, yellow, or orange, or red on the inside. Sweet potatoes can also be white, but they are not related to regular white potatoes.
Hold on. They're that different from each other? Is this one of those things where it's like humans share 97% of DNA with dolphins?
Well,
and you're like,
says,
no, they don't.
It says,
we're the same as monkeys.
Yeah, we're the same. It says yams originated in Africa, Asia, and Central America and South America and come in hundreds of varieties. Yams are less common in the United States and usually are imported. They said the true yams are more closely resemble a yucca root. Have you ever seen yucca?
Oh, yucca, yeah.
With skin that is fibrous, like a tree bark kind of texture. Their flesh can be white, yellow, pink, or purple. And taste-wise, sweet potatoes tend to be sweet and moist, while yams are starchier and drier.
Okay, I'm looking... Oh, wait, yams are starchier and drier?
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of a yam now, and I have had a yam, I believe, because I have gotten one of these, the white ones,
mm-hmm.
and cut into it and been like, what
is this?
What the hell is going on? I'm going to wait for this to ripen. And then it goes bad.
Well, it says the idea of calling a sweet potato a yam took hold around the 1930s. At that time, researchers decided to refer to sweet potatoes grown in the state as grown in Louisiana state as yams in a national marketing campaign to distinguish Louisiana sweet potatoes, which farmers promoted as sweeter and more moist with orange flesh compared to drier, lighter flesh, yellow versions in other parts of the country. So they started calling them yams, and it became a thing around the country that everyone was calling sweet potatoes yams.
I see. Farmers were trying to market sweet potatoes.
They're trying to distinguish them from other states. Like, Wisconsin has their cheese, and they call it, you know, they make it a big thing. Well, it's kind of the same thing here.
It's like having Idaho potatoes.
Exactly, yeah. It says, according to LSU, Louisiana State University, the name yam derives from the Senegalese term nyami, which is N-Y-A-M-I, used by African slaves in the U.S. to describe sweet potatoes, which reminded them of the true yams native to Africa. Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
The name shortened to yam, and it stuck. I didn't know
so
that.
So it's called a Miam?
It's
Miami?
Yami, but it's with an N.
Oh, it starts with an N.
N-Y-A-M-I.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Miami.
No. It's pretty interesting. I had no idea there was that much of a difference.
Well, hot yam.
Well, because that sounds like... Never mind. Okay. AT&T will pay... First of all, AT&T... is going to be paying $60 million to settle claims that it misled customers. But also, I saw in the news today that Sprint and T-Mobile have approved their merger and they're going to become one company.
Oh, great.
Exactly. What could
go
wrong? It says that...
That'll be flawless.
The Federal Trade Commission announced a settlement today. Regulators sued AT&T in 2014, saying the nation's second largest wireless carrier had been deceiving customers since 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. You could have asked me that. You could have checked in with me.
Regulators said the company advertised plans as unlimited, but would reduce customers' internet speeds by as much as 90%. That is crazy. They would reduce internet speeds by as much as 90%. It alleged the company did not adequately disclose to customers that it would slow down data speeds once customers use a certain amount of data in their monthly billing cycle. By throttling the data, federal regulators said AT&T made it difficult for customers to stream video, use GPS navigation, and browse the internet.
Throttling the data is very Channel Q way of explaining that.
But I feel like they should have to pay more than $60 million.
I agree. And you know what? When I know I've complained about this before. When I was going to do UVerse, and then they charged me that stupid restocking fee when they went to install my service, and they said that the internet's going to be so slow that you're not really going to be able to benefit from our service. I said, okay, then get the F out of here. And they were like, but you have to send us back that free tablet that we gave you in order for a discount on your thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, great. And I sent it, and they charged me a $45 restocking fee that I never agreed to and nobody ever told me about. And I have been fighting them tooth and nail for this $45, and I know it's not worth it, but it's still the principle of the thing because they're swindling people.
You okay? You done? You all right? Doesn't she get really crazy when she's drunk?
I am not drunk.
As part of the settlement, the FTC required AT&T to step up its disclosures when AT&T advertises wireless plans. The FCC said it must clearly disclose any restrictions such as data caps that would trigger slower speeds and not put those details in fine print. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good. Your dictionary.com word of the day was turophobia. It is a noun. It is a fear of what?
Turophobia.
It's not the app that you rent cars on, Turo.
Oh.
Not that. Just want to make sure.
Is it a misspelling of churro?
No.
Okay, what
not.
Is it?
Turophobia is an irrational or disproportionate fear of cheese.
What?
That's a thing?
Who the hell is afraid of cheese?
I love cheese.
Who doesn't? There's nobody.
I mean, vegans.
Even they love cheese.
Well, because that's why they keep making fake ones.
Yes.
So, yeah. Turophobia apparently is a thing.
If you are afraid of cheese, please call us, 833-77-CALL-Q. We will change your mind in 5 seconds flat, I promise you.
More Drop the Subject coming up.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Allison.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard that our government is an S-show right now.
Please stop it. I was in a good mood.
What? Well, I will tell you that this trending story that we were just talking about on Twitter right now,
TMI.
My God. Apparently, T.I. goes to the... Well, you've seen the story. I haven't.
He goes to the gynecologist with his daughter for a yearly checkup to check up on her hymen status.
Like, what?
That is... I think we've gone beyond helicopter parenting, and it's literally...
I don't even want you to finish that.
Stan parenting.
It says, the headline on The Hill says, T.I. faces widespread criticism after admitting he goes with his daughter to the gynecologist to, quote, check her hymen every year.
And
that
does he...
is crazy.
All right. And is it always this time of year, around the holidays?
I mean...
All right. It's November.
It's like, you know what
Come
that
on,
means?
Honey. Get you ready for Thanksgiving.
I'm mortified by that.
I don't ever want to talk about anything ever even related to my private parts to my father in any way, shape, or form.
OMG.
Ever, ever, ever.
I guess if you're a good lesbian, you would, never mind. Okay, so
if you're a gold star.
If you're a gold star lesbian, yeah.
You could just keep going to those pap smears.
There we go. Okay, this is not what we're supposed to be talking about, though. Thank you, Justin.
I would disagree.
Justin is playing the music because it's time for us to talk about the whistleblower situation that's ever evolving in Congress. Congress, there's been about 5 headlines today that we I'll touch on as many as I can. So yesterday, there was a headline that came out and said that the testimony from one of the diplomats that spoke last week had been changed. The headline comes from CNN Politics. It says, key diplomat changes testimony and admits quid pro quo with Ukraine. In a significant reversal, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, on Monday sent the committees a 3-page addition to his testimony, saying he had remembered a September 1st conversation in which he told a top aide in Ukraine that the security aid was linked to investigations into former Vice President Joe Biden and the 2016 election. Why is this important?
He suddenly remembered that?
After multiple people have been testifying, one of the interesting things that had been happening as other people were testifying, all of them were saying kind of the same thing, like this was tied to the money and it was tied to the investigations and like it was obviously a quid pro quo. But Sondland, this person who we're talking about now...
He's one of the guys who was texting.
I believe so.
I think he was, because I think Sondland was in the text messages.
It says, he was definitely part of the text messages conversation. But people kept coming out of these things and saying like, yeah, but that directly contradicts what Sondland said in his testimony. Now he's gone back and changed his testimony, which, you know, some people will call lying, but, you know, it is what it is. He's been able to go back and make an addendum to his testimony. And so that is already kind of crazy. there's a headline that comes from Huffington Post. It says, bombshell impeachment testimony perfectly underscores Lindsey Graham's hypocrisy, because Lindsey Graham is the Republican senator from South Carolina. And he
looks like a turtle.
He acts like one. So he said last month,
I like turtles,
that he was complaining about not having access to some of these witnesses. And, you know, if there was anything that came out, then we would be talking about it and it would be important. And now this has come out and he's like, oh, it's BS. We don't care about it. And it's like, first of all, Lindsey Graham is about as Channel Q as anyone can get. But he's also just been like so up Donald Trump's, you know what, like anything that Donald Trump needs or wants or says, like Lindsey Graham.
He's all
can
up
justify.
In the beehole.
Exactly. Also this morning, we learned that the first public hearings in the Trump impeachment inquiry are set to begin as early as next week. A House resolution formalizing procedures for the probe as it entered a new phase passed last week, largely among party lines. We saw that last week. They voted on the impeachment. This story coming from NBCNews.com saying that the first open hearing to be held on November 13th is slated to feature testimony from a career diplomat named Bill Taylor. A State Department official, George Kent, will also be there. They're going to start putting these on television. We're going to be able to hear from these people.
Yes.
In their own words, what they saw, what they know, what they experienced. So that is going to be something to look out for as well.
You know, some of these testimonies that were taking place over the last couple of years, I feel like I took them for granted. I was like, there's always a testimony going on. And now I kind of miss them.
Yeah. Well,
now I'm like, I want uncomfortable sipping of water.
Yeah, exactly. Season 2 is going to be starting next week.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be even crazier than last time.
Bill Taylor, the top Ukraine diplomat, has directly tied Trump to a quid pro quo, saying that was my clear understanding that security assistance money would not come until the president of Ukraine committed to pursue investigations. So I mean,
I just don't understand. Like, this is so crystal clear,
it's so
isn't
obvious,
it?
Yeah. Well, we've
said, and he was even saying
we've been saying for a long time. Like, the most interesting thing about this investigation is like all the facts came out on the first day,
right?
Literally.
So like, you have everything you need. I don't understand. Like that, everything that you've told me and everything that I've seen is beyond reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, and like admitted, confessed the whole thing. So,
and hasn't he even confessed?
Yeah. Well,
because he was saying like, "What's wrong with a little quid pro quo?" And everyone
there
was
wasn't
like,
one,
"A
but
lot."
There's nothing wrong with it if there was, and all that. So, this is going to continue to get more and more interesting. And next week, it'll really kick into high gear with these public hearings. We got to take a break right now. When we come back, the happy ending. Don't go anywhere.
Blow the whistle. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is about our time. But I think, Allie, before we go, we've talked about some good stuff. We've talked about some bad stuff, some confusing stuff. I feel like we should maybe tie it up with something nice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's about time for some happy endings.
Well, Allie, I think that Gingy Cohen should probably... I should stop calling him Gingy Cohen.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you should stop.
Gingy Cohen, tell us, what's your happy ending for today?
My happy ending is, sure, Jarrett wasn't able to change into his desired outfit before we went on that first date. But the bright side is that a leather harness and assless chaps is really more of a second date outfit.
Well, you do raise a very good point.
Yeah, by the way, you look great today in those assless
Just
chaps.
Just love the chaps.
It looks great. I don't know if Shira's going to appreciate that chair, but I do appreciate your look.
Well, you know what? There were like six different things that came to mind to reply to, none of which I could say on the radio. So, Allie, what you got for a happy ending?
My happy ending is that, yes, the show is over, and that's really a bummer because we've had a lot of fun today, but... The bright side here is that I forgot one of my News It or Lose It stories today. So
did you really?
So the show will live on tomorrow. I completely forgot to talk about how they are thinking about sealing bags for delivery drivers because they've been eating your food.
And that was the one that I really wanted to know about.
You were dinging the bell over and over and over again, and I completely forgot to bring you that story. So I guess the positive silver lining here is that even though the show's over, it continues, and this show will live on and carry on until tomorrow.
At least that's what we think. We'll see if the key cards work in the morning.
That's true. You never know.
Well, my happy ending says Republicans may have totally beefed it last night in the elections. But look at the bright side. They've got to be relieved and not so tired of winning anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that was a callback from when Trump said that everyone was going to be so tired of winning because America's going to be so great.
To explain, a callback is something referencing something that happened once before.
All right, I can't take it. I need a drink.
You always need a drink. It's just, we're going to pray for you.
I'm going to pray for me
too. We're going to put you in a program if this doesn't get better, Allie.
No, not coffee in this coffee cup. To see you, Mark.
You know what? We're going to let you guys go. Have a great day. I'm going to go get Allie some water and an Uber. we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm good.
Have a great day.
Allie, get down from there.
What?
On the next, drop the subject.
On the next show, we're playing Gay Gay Cray Cray. I found the story of a couple that's blown off their wedding, but decided to keep the money they were given to put it on to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. So are they gay gay or just plain hetero cray cray?
Well, if they spent the money to go to Napa, hetero. If they spent the money to go to Big Bear, lesbians. And if they spent the money on jean shorts, it's a toss-up.
Drop the subject. 12 to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern. On the new Channel Q.